Earth, sky.
We must not take them for granted, because the honeybee is the world's premier managed pollinator, and we would not have the rich and varied and nutritious, healthful diet that we have, not to mention the beautiful natural landscapes throughout much of North America, were it not for the honeybee.
You are listening to renowned bee scientist May Barenbaum of the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Dr. Barenbaum gave us an update on the status of bees today, and she spoke with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar in response to media claims that say cell phones are killing bees.
Now, it's been a few years since we last spoke when we interviewed you on the collapse of colonies of honeybees. Back in 2006. Would you please give us an update on the state of bees today?
Over the last couple of years, there was a steady 30-plus percent loss, but this most recent survey actually revealed an increase in colony numbers, which is the first good news since that those disturbing indications began to come in late 2006.
Could you tell us a little bit more about this good news on honeybees? Now, this is for the United States, is that right?
Right. Actually, good point. Around the world, there are more disturbing reports coming in from various and sundry places. But at least in the U.S., it appears that some of the actions that beekeepers have taken, even in the absence of a known single cause for colony collapse disorder, appear to have ameliorated some of the losses.
Would you maybe tell us what are some of the, or go more into some of the reasons why honeybees are on the rebound right now?
Well, the reason I think that the industry is doing so much better is that as a consequence of this mysterious and very disturbing phenomenon called colony collapse disorder, there was an immediate increase in research into what potential causes might be, which resulted in an amazing increase in the basic knowledge of bee biology with respect to management, how people keep bees. So among the hypotheses that were investigated, people were concerned that poor nutrition might be a factor. It doesn't appear to be a factor, but at least now beekeepers are paying more attention to nutritional needs of bees. So the general level of awareness was raised, and as a consequence, even though a precise cause hasn't been identified, bees are a lot better off than they were 3 years ago.
I guess this gets to my next question, and this is a question from the social media service Twitter. What can the average person do to help honeybees?
Well, there are lots of ways, actually, to help honeybees. This is maybe an environmental crisis that isn't overwhelming, that really does have possible solutions. Among other things, be a little more tolerant of what might be considered weeds, because what one person might consider a weed, a pollinator may consider a meal. The American mindset that lawns have to be sterile monocultures of Kentucky bluegrass does the pollinators no good, nor does an agricultural landscape that is weed-free. It's important to keep some land in non-crop environments so that bees and other pollinators have habitats. Locally, one thing you can do to support bees is to support local beekeepers and buy local honey. Among other things, a major problem in the honey industry is what's called honey laundering. This is this practice of transshipping honey that ultimately comes from China that is relabeled and shipped from elsewhere, which is full of adulterants and contaminants, including high fructose corn syrup, among other things. So buying from a local beekeeper guarantees that there will be local bees. And in addition, you get the wonderful bonus of having this marvelous sweetener that is infinitely variable and absolutely delicious.
I'd like to switch to something, the news reports of something else that may be killing bees, and that is cell phones. There have been reports in May of 2011, in essence, cell phones are killing bees. Do cell phones kill bees?
Well, that is an enormous leap from the data presented in this paper. what the study basically examined the effect of cell phones inside the hive on a particular bee behavior, which is called piping. There are a few problems with the paper that just came out in the journal Apidology, and that's that the cell phones were placed inside the hive, which, of course, as the authors freely admit, does not really replicate reality, which I think they even use the term real life. Moreover, it's difficult to interpret what the piping actually means. There was no bee death in these papers, nothing at all, just piping, a sound. They made a sound. And it's not clear at all that, and there was no swarming. One of the reasons bees pipe is to signal their nestmates to begin swarming, but under no circumstances in this study did anyone actually leave the colony. And then finally, it may not have been the cell phones, but the programming. If you read the experimental methods, they actually, in order to keep the cell phones active, they were playing a French radio station. Maybe the bees just didn't like the station. You know, there are other ways to interpret these data. And in fact, there are no statistical analyses presented. So it's very hard to come to go from the data that are presented, which are a few indications that in fact bees do make a noise when a cell phone is activated inside their colony, all the way to cell phones are killing bees. I mean, it's just not a tenable connection.
But this is a story, cell phones killing bees. It just seems to keep coming up from my experience from first covering this story with you back in 2006. What are your comments on this cell phones are killing bees story that just keeps coming back?
It is the story that will not die. And I think it's kind of alarming to me how readily the press picks up these stories of studies that are not particularly scientifically robust. There was a study published last year of a similar sort of experimental design where the cell phone is placed directly in the hive. And in this particular study, which got international, international exposure, the size of the experimental group was two hives in the control and two in the experimental. And this is, anyone who knows anything about bees knows that this is not an adequate sample size. Can you imagine a study of a new human drug where there are two people in the experimental group and two in the control? Each beehive is very different in its characteristics from the next beehive. You need a large sample size to statistically detect differences. That paper had no statistical analysis, nor does the one that we started talking about. It may be boring and difficult to grasp, but that statistical analysis, statistical repeatability, is the key to a solid scientific finding. And that's just not there in these cell phone stories.
You've been listening to May Barenbaum, professor and head of the Department of Entomology at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. For this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.